Chapter 2 of Colossians gets you saved. Amen. Last week we talked about chapter 2, about him nailing our sins to the cross. You remember that? And we put certain sins up there, not all the sins, but we put a few up there. And he just reminded us that he took your sin and he bore it on the cross. And so because he bore it, you don't have to. So chapter 2 gets you saved, but chapter 3 tells you how to live victorious. So he gives about 5 steps on what he says. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And if we preach right through it, my last point is going to be to basically live a clean, holy, righteous life. So because I think that you remember the last thing more than you do the first thing, I want to start with my last point, where he says, you got to stop the God-offending behavior. Now, this is the part in the sermon where you have to take some responsibility for who you used to be. Just because you surrendered your heart to Jesus doesn't mean all these things have come off of you. You probably still have some of these behaviors wanting to operate in your life. And it takes a little while for the Lord to change you. As your mind goes, your actions go. Now, most of my life, I've told you this many times, most of your life, I've tried to change my actions, but instead, I found when God changes the root of the tree, he changes the fruit of the tree. So when God gets involved, he doesn't change the fruit, he changes the root. So God goes in, he's a God that works from the inside out. Religion works from the outside and tries to go in and doesn't go in very far. In other words, it polishes the cup. Religion wants to make you look a certain way and act a certain way and talk a certain way in front of the right people. But you find that the truth comes out of who you are when you get squeezed. But Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your speech will betray you many times. Listen to the way you're talking, and that will tell you if you're in the faith. That will tell you if you're standing in faith. So he really comes across as, I want you to stop these God-offending, these things offend God. And he goes on, he says, fornication, which is basically sexual sins outside of marriage is sort of the big one that just covers it all. Uncleanness, which is impurity, talking about the mind. Passion, lust, evil desires. Covetousness, which is idolatry, which means there's something in your heart that stands before God. In the American church, oftentimes it's money. And you cannot serve two masters. If God is God, then you'll serve him. But if money is your God, you'll serve money. I hope that we don't get the two mixed up. See, money tries to offer you the same thing that God says he'll do for you. Money says, if you'll serve me and if you'll get enough money, I'll give you peace of mind. If you'll serve me and you get enough money, you'll have joy. And I want you to know, it's a lie from the pit of hell. Some of the most miserable people that I know in life are people that have great resources. Just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean that you have what God wants to give you. Don't believe that lie from hell. You serve God, God will bring the other things to you. So let's go on. He says, anger and wrath. You don't have to be real wise to know that we live in a very angry society. Malice, blasphemy, which is slander, filthy language, and lying. I want to talk just a little bit about filthy language. I've been saved basically all my life. Got saved at 7 years old. And I have watched a deterioration in the church on their language. We speak a whole lot more free today than we used to. Used to, we guarded our mouth a little closer. and we didn't let bywords and curse words. And so the church actually just got where they didn't even preach about cussing. It wasn't really a big deal. I got news for you. It is a big deal. What comes out of your mouth, these four-letter words, even your little byword, when you get mad, you say S-H-I-T. Or you say this word. And I want you to know, that's not pleasing to God. God wants to change you. God wants to remove the filth from your mouth. Again, it's a heart change. Change the root, change the fruit. So God, but I don't, here's your part of this. Don't think it's a little deal. I just want you to know it is important. It's important enough that God put it in the Word. So it's important. So it matters what you talk. The last thing he said was filthy language and lying. Lying has become acceptable in the world today. If you don't want to hurt someone's feeling, it's okay to lie. It's a white lie. If you don't have the money to do something, you don't have to say, I don't have the money to do that. You lie about it. Well, it's just not in my budget. Or my wife won't let me spend that money. Or whatever you want to say about it, we tend to, lying is the easier place to go to than truth. And you're going to find the more you do it, the more you do it. If you give yourself permission to lie, you're going to find yourself lying a lot. I want you to know every relationship is based on trust. If you want to have a good relationship with your wife, you tell her the truth all the time. Not part of the time. She needs to know when you open your mouth, that's truth. As much as you can see, it's as much truth as I know. This is what I believe. I've told you many times before, if my wife asks me, does this dress make me look fat? That's a dangerous question to answer. But don't lie. You can say it in a nice way. It's not the most flattering outfit I've seen on you, honey. I didn't call her fat. I just said there's other things that make you look better. But you know what I did? I told her the truth. This is not registering with you. You know, I'll ask my, I don't have an eye for fashion. That's probably pretty obvious to you. So I'll ask my wife sometimes, does this look all right? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. Even I can tell. This is awful. Tell me the truth. Does this make my belly look big? Honey, everything makes your belly look big. There's nice ways to say things, I'm telling you. I think that our life should glorify Him. And these behaviors are not glorifying to God. It's not who we are. We're not sons of disobedience. That's what He said. These are sons, these are activities of sons of disobedience. I'm not a son of disobedience. I may still be disobedient, but I'm not a son of disobedience. I've had my mind renewed. He's renewing my mind. My spiritual father used to always pray this, Jesus, you're not part of my life, you're all my life. I love that. Jesus, you're not part of my life. See, I believe that separates religion from relationship. Religion makes Christ part of your life, but not all of your life. Rick Clendenin, he would pray and he'd say, Jesus, you're not part of my life, you are my life. One day, a man that didn't really know him began to prophesy over his life. And he said this to him. He said, speaking for the Lord, he said, when you say that I'm not part of your life, but I'm all your life, I am your life, it pleases me. The man who did not know him repeated word for word Rick's prayer, his continual prayer. You may think God doesn't hear you. I want you to know God hears you. God knows what you're saying. And He can bring it right back to you. He says, the wrath of God is coming for people who commit these sins. Well, guess what? The wrath of God is not coming for us. Come on, that ought to got a hallelujah. We are not subjected to the wrath of God. You know why? Because of this right here. You see how miserable it was, the cross, the work on the cross. I just see Rebecca. Rebecca, it's so good to have you back, sweetie. She just had surgery, and so it's good to have you home. Anyway, let's get back to the surgery. My ADD slipped in just a little bit. What this was all about, Jesus, God could not set aside your sin. Every sin has a price tag to it. And God never looked at you and said, we'll just ignore this one. No, He does not ignore sin. That the cost to your sin had a price, and Jesus took that and He paid that price for you on that cross. He took the wrath of God for you. So let me tell you, for God to send wrath on us would be redundant. It would not be just because someone else has paid for us. Do you get this? This makes sense, guys. The cross makes sense to us. He paid my price. Why should I pay? If I had to pay for it again, then God is double charging me, and that's dishonest. That's good preaching. The last thing I noticed that he said there is we need to quit dividing the kingdom of God. I think we need to quit dividing the kingdom of God by color. It doesn't matter what color you are, by gender, by culture, or by denomination. Why are we letting a sign over our door divide us? God loves everyone. God loves the Methodist. God loves the Baptist. He loves the Church of Christ. When you speak against those people, it disheartens God. I'll get it out. It just takes a while. I think we're different. We're a little different than maybe some of the other denominations. But I think we need to be careful how we talk about them. The Bible says, don't judge another man's servant. I got news for you. The Baptists love Jesus. And it's wrong when we talk about them. And it's wrong when the Baptists talk about us. It goes both ways. But here we are. We're the family of God. Every one of us. Let's embrace each other. Let's love each other. Let's learn from each other. You know, the Baptists do some great things that we could really, really gain wisdom from them if we would just let down our guard just a little bit. Amen. So I'm going back to the beginning of this lesson now because I didn't want you to leave with that. I want you to leave with some of this other stuff I'm preaching today. My number one point is I really don't believe that many Christians actually pray. I think we petition. I think that all we do is give God a grocery list. God, I need help here. And God, I need help there. And I am thankful that God says that we can come before Him with our petition. But He doesn't stop there. See, any type of communication, if it's one-sided, it's not going to survive. Communication, the word itself means both ways. If a husband and wife is having problems, it's probably because somebody's not listening. Only one person. You know what happens when men get frustrated? They get mad. They get angry. They lift their voice. They're probably hiding fear. And when a woman realizes that and doesn't respond, you know, the Bible says where there's no wood on the fire goes out. You want to wonder why your fights just continue? Because you keep adding wood to it. That's good preaching. That ain't in my notes, but it's for somebody, I guess. See, Jesus modeled prayer. Jesus taught us how to pray. He asked God for things, but he also allowed God to speak to him. I'm a big believer that God still speaks, that God wants to talk to you. The model prayer that Christ taught us, he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." Amen. He's teaching us how to pray. Petition is part of it. But I want you to notice the first two words, "Our Father." You know what that tells me? There's relationship there. He is in a relationship. If only one person's talking, the relationship dies, I promise you. It won't go. You know, if you're having a lot of single dates, never getting the second date, you're probably talking about yourself too much. Okay, we'll move right on. I didn't think that. Maybe that wasn't even from the Holy Ghost. I don't know. It's great to petition God. Nothing wrong with that at all. But just wait for a few moments. Give him a chance to speak back to you. I'm a big believer that if we would just get in our hearts, follow him. Follow him. Which means I got to listen to him. If I'm going to follow him, I got to listen to him. The second thing he says there, he says, "Seek those things which are above." I think that we spend a lot of time seeking earthly things. We seek boyfriends and girlfriends. Is there anything wrong with that? No. No. If they turn into husbands and wives, if you keep it honorable, let's just go there for a second. When Christians date like the world, we're in sin. First of all, I don't really believe in dating. Guess I had to throw that out. I believe that anytime we do something just like the world, we're messing up. See, I believe we should pray. Now, I believe in courting. I just don't believe in courting every gal on the block. I believe we pray first. We get the mind of the Lord. We find someone that the Lord says, this would make you a good wife. Right? I heard that about Treva. I just heard it was for my brother, so I tried to set her up with my brother first. I wasn't going to marry. I was going to be a millionaire. Woo, did that one go out the window? She tells me all the time, I'm your million. So I'm working on my second now. You know, the average date, from what I'm told, is kids go to a movie, they go to dinner, they go have sex, and they go home. Christians, I don't care if you're 18 or if you're 81. That ought not be. Amen. There's a lot of mature people that loses spouses and they don't have the fear of getting pregnant anymore. So they think they can sleep around. It's just as much a sin then as it is when you were a kid. That's good preaching, Pastor. Yeah. I don't hear that in every pulpit. No, you don't. If you're going to control, though, you got to control this before you can control this. But don't. God wants to provide for you. He wants to provide your finances, your emotional needs. He wants to provide for every. He's not just interested in you getting to heaven. He wants you to live a successful life right here. So he wants to teach you and bring great things in your life. There is nothing that God wants to withhold from you except things that's going to hurt you. God's not a God that damns us. God's a God that blesses us. But Our part is to seek Him and not seek the things. So we're spending a lot. There's a lot of people that says, I don't believe in that prosperity doctrine. But they're working 90 hours a week. They got it wrong. They don't believe in God prospering them. They believe that they'll prosper themselves. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I'm going to tell you that. Woo, Pastor. See, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, and we're going to get there, seek first the kingdom of God. All these other things will be added to you. A couple of people in this church, loss of a spouse or maybe a divorce, and they told the Lord, Lord, if you want me to marry again, Ruth and Larry's like this. Ruth said, Lord, if you want me to marry again, you're going to bring him to my front yard. Sometime after her husband died, Judy, which is Larry's twin sister, brings Larry, you know where? To her front yard, to the sidewalk, and says, hey, come and walk with us. She's such a matchmaker. She knew what she was doing. Travis and Renee. Renee maybe had a bad experience. I don't know the whole story. But she said, God, if you want me to marry again, you're going to have to bring him to my front door. Travis one day is selling something. I don't know. But their family is in there having a Bible study. He knocks on the door. I don't know if he's selling Girl Scout cookies or what he's selling, but he's knocking on the door. And Elaine, Renee's mom, said, why don't you come in and have a Bible study with us? And Travis says, okay, I think I will. He walks in. You see what I'm saying? They wasn't seeking a spouse. They was seeking God. And they said, God, if this is what you want, just bring him to me. We don't have enough faith, guys. I'm telling you, if you'll seek God, he'll bring the things that you need to your door. Yes, if you need money, God will bring you money.
Yes, he will.
Oh, hallelujah. I figured I might get a hallelujah. Seek the things which are above. That's I love that verse. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things... No, I'm on the wrong verse. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. He says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where the thieves do not break in and steal. Listen to this. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We're seeking the wrong things. We should be seeking God. The third thing is, he tells us, set your mind on things above. This is powerful. This is your focus. What are you focusing on? See, I've told you before, if you focus on your sin, you'll sin more. I promise you. The more you focus, have you ever, I almost ran a cop over one day. And I wasn't, obviously on accident. A cop's lights just sort of mesmerized me. Sort of get me in a trance. And even today, when we're driving down the road, if there's a cop's got someone pulled over, Tree will say, look at the road, Eric, look at the road. Because I just, oh, what pretty lights. And I mean, I almost ran this cop over. He was so mad at me. He said, go to that driveway and wait. And I know, I think he had to go change pants is what I think. I was shaking. He was too. What you focus on is where you'll head, is what I'm trying to tell you. Whatever you focus on is where you're going to head. We've got to take control of our thoughts. We must focus on Him. I want to go here for just a second. There's a lot of us that have bought into a lie. that certain things would satisfy us. For some of you, maybe it's alcohol. For some of you, maybe it was drugs. For some of you, maybe it's food. Maybe it's shopping or spending. We sort of have addictive personalities. And all of those are lies that says, I can meet your need. You get that? I am beginning to believe I'm addicted to sweets. It's just too big in my life. And I'm going to tell you, I don't need to cut myself any more of a break than the alcoholic or drug addict. I need to say, God, I want to whip this. So instead of focusing on those things to fulfill me, I need to focus my worship on Him. See, every one of us have been created with this vacuum inside of us to worship. And I believe when we worship Him, and I'm really going to start trying this when I crave chocolate. I crave a lot of things, but real chocolate is really one of them. And instead of heading to the chocolate, I'm going to start trying to worship. God, I thank you, Lord, that you fulfill every desire of my life. I thank you, Father, I don't need it. I don't need sweets to make me feel good. I need you to make me feel good. Now, that may be foreign to you. It may be you think I'm a little strange. You're right, I am. But that's beside the point. What I'm preaching to you is truth. We need to focus our minds on things. So Philippians 4:7 says, brother, I want you to think about these things. Think about things that are true. If you think about women all the time, you're going to be a pervert, I promise you. If you have same-sex attraction and you focus your mind on that, you're going to go down that road. You can beat it. The world tells you you can't. You were born like that. That's who you are. That's just nonsense. There's not a man in here that doesn't have to control his mind. And whether it's the same sex attraction or the opposite sex attraction, you still got to control it. Good stuff. Hope you're getting it. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there are any praise, meditate on these things. Meditate means chew the cud. Chew the cud. Looks like a cow. Chews a little while, swallows it, spits it back up, starts chewing it again. That's what He wants you to do with the Word of God. That's what He wants you to do on the things that are honorable and true. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Every time you look in the mirror, if you call yourself a loser, you're probably a loser. You need to change the language of your heart. Quit calling yourself a loser. Quit calling yourself fat. Quit calling yourself ugly. Quit calling yourself stupid. Start calling yourself how He sees you. God does not make junk. You're not ugly. You're special. I heard that a lot growing up. Oh, you're special. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. You cannot let your mind run wild. You must get that and capture it and says, no, you're not going to think about dirt. David says, no, it was Job, said, I will put no vile thing before my eye. I'd preach all day long in this society where we have about 70% of our society viewing pornography on a regular basis. It is out of control. And it's as much in the church as it is in the world. This is the one area that we need to start preaching in the church because it's rampant in the church as much as in the world. God help us. Pastors are falling regularly to this. Bring those thoughts into captivity. You know, I thought, I know there's more than this, but I think there's like three kinds of thinking. There's worldly thinking, which I'm going to say worldly thinking is not wrong. There's a lot of wisdom in the world, right? There's lots of things that are, you know, you're running your business. You're thinking about things like that. That's not wrong. There's heavenly thinking, which is trying to keep your mind on the things of God. And he'll direct your steps. He'll give you wisdom. But then there's gutter thinking. Gutter thinking is wrong, always. So how many people have been told, I've been told this, get your mind out of the gutter. Get your mind out of the gutter. If every time you hear somebody talk, you're thinking about, you're making something dirty out of every little issue. They're not trying to be dirty at all, but all you hear is gutter. I want to tell you, get your mind out of the gutter. God's got a better plan for you than that. Let's take it up a notch. Let's begin to think of heavenly things. Take captive your thoughts. The old saying is, well, you're so heavenly minded, you're of no earthly good. Some people live in fear to that. I just want to remove that fear. I've been a Christian for over 50 years of my life, and I just want to tell you, I hadn't met anybody like that yet. I haven't met anybody whose head is so far in the clouds, they're not any good on earth. But I've met a whole lot of people that's got such a worldly mind, such gutter mind, that they're no heavenly good. That's good preaching. Get with it. Come on. That's good preaching. We've got to change the way we think. Then this last verse is a verse I love. I just love it. He says, when Christ appears, this is talking about the second coming of Christ. He says, you will be with him. And that's scriptural. We're coming back with Christ. Why? Because we've been raptured up before the second coming. We're in heaven. We're coming back. And that's where your body and soul will be reunited to live with the Lord forevermore. He says this, when Christ, now listen to these next three or four words, who is our life. I love it. When Christ, who is our life, when he appears, I'll be with him. I know there's some of this sermon, to some of you, it has not made sense. To others, you're right with me. And much of it goes to this statement right here. See, I think if you just get honest with yourself for just a second and you ask yourself this, could I ever say that? Would I be lying if I said, when Christ, who is my life, or is your life all about your job? Is your life all about making money? Is your life all about family? Anything that replaces God is an idol. You can make your family an idol. I've literally had people tell me, I can't come to church Sunday, Pastor. That's our family day. Well, I don't know a better way to have family time than to be in the house of God together. When Christ, who is our life, when he appears, I'll be with him. You know, every time I preach a funeral, I just think about, Pastor told us this week in the prayer meeting on Tuesday, he said, I tell people all the time, if you don't know Christ, then when you pass in front of this corpse, you need to say goodbye. But if you know Christ, when you pass in front of this corpse, you don't have to say goodbye. You say, I'll see you later. Amen. I have never preached a child's funeral, and I pray I never have to. I can't think of anything more difficult than preaching a child's funeral. But in the Bible, King David lost a child, a baby. He made this statement. He said, "He cannot come to me, but I can go to him." Amen. I got news for you. Said Wednesday at the funeral, heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. Yeah. Why? Because more people that I love are going over. Right. They're crossing over. Now to me, heaven is not about the mansion. Heaven is not about streets of gold or a pearly gate. It's not even about my loved ones. It's about seeing Jesus. Yes. When Christ, who is your life, seek first the kingdom. Yes. If you need to do some heart changing, do some heart changing. Chapter 2 got you saved. Chapter 3 is going to teach you how to live victorious. And I'm telling you, if you'll seek Him, if you'll focus your thoughts, you're going to live victorious. Put away the sinful lifestyle. But it all starts here. Focusing. God, help me not just try to change my actions. Put an axe to the root of the tree of rebellion. Put an axe to the tree of anger. Put an axe to the tree of immorality. Are you getting me? He will do that. Now I wish that He did it in an instant, but He doesn't. You know, I was angry. I know you guys can't believe this, but I grew up in school fighting. I got spanked 3 times going to school. An angel like me, they spanked me. And I deserved every one of them. And most of them was for fighting, because there was so much anger. And I would try to change my anger. I'd try to not, you know, I can remember busting a kid right in the face. And it was really funny. One time I was thinking, the pastor preached on turn the other cheek. And I was a freshman in high school. And I thought, Lord, I wonder if I could do that. The next day, the Lord tested me in it. I chased that kid all around the school trying to punch him. He punched me first, and I was going to splatter his little head. But I'm going to tell you, I prayed about that all the time as a kid. God, take this anger away. I hate this anger. He didn't do it instantly. But somewhere through life, I notice I'm not mad anymore. I'm not that angry person. God put an axe to the root. He changed my life. Now, I don't know what it is in your life, but I got a feeling every person here would say, would identify a behavior, identify a character. And here's my challenge to you. Quit trying to change it. Quit trying to change that behavior and submit it to God. Submit that behavior to God and say, God, I'm asking you, put the axe, put the holy axe to the root of my tree. The Bible says a tree will bear fruit. An orange tree produces oranges. An apple tree produces apples. A godly man produces fruits of the Spirit. If you identified with that list a whole lot, you're producing the wrong fruit. So what do? Do you change your actions? No. You ask God to put an axe to the roots so that you begin to produce a new fruit. And it's much more liberating. You're not constantly going around saying, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that. You know what you're going around doing? God, I just worship You. I worship You. I thank You, Lord, I'm focused on You today. And it starts when you wake up. It ends when you go to bed. God, I thank You. You're Lord of my day. You're watching over me, God. You have hemmed me in again, God. You're before me, behind me, your hand is upon me. Psalms 139:5. God, there's some behaviors in my life I don't like. I submit them to you. And I'm just going to seek you. If you have that addiction, that you're addicted to something, submit it to God. See, that addiction has been telling you a lie. That addiction has been saying, you do this and I'll fulfill you. I'll make you happy. I'll fulfill what you need. Here, just shoot up. Just drink this. Just look at this. And you'll always be disappointed because it will not do what it promises to do. I wish that we could see behind the curtain. It's smoke and mirrors, guys. Smoke and mirrors. I tell you what brings prosperity in your life, what brings success in your life, is seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God will bring everything else into your life. You want to be victorious? Take this captive. Take this captive and begin to think about the goodness of God. Amen. Stand with me. If you're here today and there's some things in your life that you say, I just need God to put an axe to the tree. Now, I don't want you to be embarrassed by this. I don't want you to say, well, everybody's going to talk about me if I go forward. I'm going to tell you, everybody has something in their life that they need God to put the axe to. Everyone. But I believe that there are certain people in this building today that this is registered in your spirit. And you need to come forward. See, this is the altar. This is the place of sacrifice. This is the place of death. And God, you're saying, God, I want this to die. I want my perversion to die. I want my bad language to die. I want my anger to die. I want these characteristics in my life to die, and I'm submitting them to you, and I think you just need to step forward because there's something about public confession. See, you've got to take your little mask off today that says, I'm perfect, I've got my life together, I don't need anything, I'm as holy as they come. Nonsense. They're not here. Take the mask off. Let's get humble in His sight. And let's say, I'm a person of great need. I need you. And I need you today to put your holy axe to the root that's bearing this fruit in my life. And only you can identify that. But I want you to know, I believe that God will help crucify that thing in your life. God will swing the axe today if you'll humble yourself and come forward. I'm not going to spend long. Come forward if you want us to pray for you. Hallelujah. Sing it, Treva.